Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the
welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz and, well, LeBron did it. I thought the officiating was very questionable, but I would never say it was fixed. But Jesus, they really, I think the officials really stole the show away from Golden State. But, you know, hey, they wanted LeBron. They wanted the king to be the king. So, hey, it is what it is. And, of course, global markets are soaring based on, you know, you can hear what you want. You can believe what you want. You'll hear the talk is on Brexit and that they're going to stay. I'm saying that the markets are still in this consolidation pattern, and they went to the bottom end of it, and now they're going back to the top end of it. And so to me, it's just a matter of when they're going to break out of this range, and they will break out. No question is when. And, you know, breakout could be up or down. We're not going to say, you know, which way it's going to be. I mean, obviously, it's not an easy thing to predict. So you just have to watch the tops and bottoms of those ranges, and then you'll see where we go from there. But one of the things that I'm really kind of perturbed about is Facebook. Okay. Now, you know, I don't know how many of you use Facebook or are on it. And I think the tool itself initially was a nice tool if you wanted, you know, if you want people to quit having to talk to one another. You know, we've gone to an age of nobody communicates face to face. You know, everything you do in life today, from calling for customer service, is done by a recorder, to communicating with your friends, it's done by texting or Facebook. And I don't know. I get obviously a ton of friend requests. You know, I don't know any of them. I mean, you know, I'll be frank and honest. I mean, you know, but I post all my stuff there, and you know, I use it as more of a business tool. But I got to tell you, some of the content that's put out on this thing, and you know, I'm sure you can use your imagination as to, you know, what I'm talking about. But I think, first of all, it's raunchy, it's ridiculous, and of course, the political agendas now because of the election. I don't know that Facebook does such a great job at screening out what shouldn't be up on air. I mean, if you think about it, you've got, you know, basically in today's world, I would say, you know, kids use Facebook from, I don't know what age, you know, I guess it depends on the parents. But you know, there's kids on it. I mean, at least high school and above. And I'll tell you, I've seen some content on there that is terrible, is ridiculous. And I'm not happy. And of course, when I see they post it to me, you know, I immediately block and disown or whatever you call to that friend, because I don't need to see it. I don't need to have this crap in my life. And certainly other people can see your content that's posted there. And I don't need to be even associated in that space. And to me, you know, I don't get it. Okay. You know, the world has become backwards from a social point of view, and we've lost the true art of really true social skills. And I think that although technology is good, I guess, I don't particularly care for it, but I'm older. You know, I don't like having to be basically on call 24 hours a day. Where anybody can track me down anytime from, you know, some one place to another. But what I don't understand is how some of the things can get posted there. And I mean, some of it's so raunchy that, I mean, I can't believe the people who post it would post things like that. I mean, to me, you know, you would think you'd want a little privacy, but I guess when you're now in this, you know, this new world, that, you know, nobody cares about their privacy. And, you know, I guess people just think that, you know, it doesn't matter. I think people think that nobody sees these things, nobody looks at these things. I don't know. I mean, I guarantee you that if you are looking for a job and you apply, I guarantee you that the employer is having somebody check Facebook, LinkedIn, and all these other public or social media sites. And I think it's kind of, you know, I think a lot of people don't get jobs because of it. And I think that, I think eventually this may come back to haunt Facebook. Now, I think they were, you know, very innovative, and I've been a big supporter of the company. In fact, I agreed with one of the guys out there that said Facebook would become the first $1 trillion company. But now, as we've been through the election, or we're going through the election, and there's been talk that they have actually screened out some of the conservative views, and I don't know that one way or the other. I'm not saying it is or it isn't, but if it's true, then obviously they're now trying to also, like everybody else, manipulate things. But it just shows you that they're not real good at screening out content, because, you know, some of the content that's out there should not be allowed on Facebook. I mean, it's past the free speech First Amendment. I mean, it's stuff that, you know, you would be embarrassed to see, and if it was somebody that was related to you, you might have a heart attack. So, you know, I didn't think that Facebook was supposed to be used as a porn site, okay? And I think that eventually that may come back to haunt them as a company, because I think that it really has become, you know, I'll post anything, you know, and you know, I certainly don't want to look at it. And not, you know, I'm not going to Facebook for that. And to me, it's an ordeal for the company, because, you know, I would still say that the majority of this country is still of the older and the maybe not quite so progressive. And, you know, when you start to have things like this show up, you know, on basically the public airways, I mean, it's almost like showing up on TV. I think you'll see some people that will not be very happy with it. Now, we'll see. You know, I don't know. I mean, obviously, they have an unbelievable business model. It's an unbelievable moneymaker. And they're doing a good job. But I do, it does bother me, the content that I see being posted, number one. But what also bothers me is the inability for people to communicate verbally. I think that's a problem. And so if you tie all these things together and you take all the little chinks in the armor of Facebook, and again, I'm not saying they're going to go down. I'm not saying it's going to have a dramatic effect on the company, but it could, because I think that things are relatively too progressive for, you know, especially if you've got younger kids or whatever. I think it's a very scary thing, and I think we need to teach everyone that if you post it out there, that now becomes public. And I don't know that all these things that you're seeing should be public, but one of the things that could be public and should be is using Thinkorswim, okay? You know, built by traders for traders, one of the platforms that Bubba over here uses. But of course, every day they've got their swim lessons, which today they've got the stress test your option strategy, and tomorrow understanding options, probability, and the skew. And then every day they have technically speaking, as well as the plunge that they also have. So, you know, again, great information. They try to put you there, very user-friendly, almost like the Bubba Show is so user-friendly, because, of course, we make it. If you miss an episode, you can go where? LibertyTalk.fm and download the show every day. In the meantime, I'm going to step out of here. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Howard.
All right, boys, follow me. Mostly in A.
The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. It's time for the one, the only, the extremely talented Jane King. What's up, Jane King?
Oh, just, it's been a really interesting week. Seems like every time I talk to you that there's some fascinating stuff that has been happening. And, you know, now we've got the whole argument about, you know, Orlando and terrorism and gun control and all of that all over again. And here we go. Welcome to politics.
Do you have an opinion on gun control? Do you have an opinion on the way that it's being handled?
Well, I guess I'm unique probably from most Manhattan people in that, you know, I grew up in a very rural area. I grew up on a farm in Indiana. And my brother has guns. I mean, they're all locked up. So I understand, you know, the argument for people having guns. I mean, we live in a place that, like, if there would be, if we would be robbed or something like that, like where I grew up, I mean, it would be 20 minutes minimum before law enforcement would come. So I kind of get it. You know, I understand, you know, there's, you know, problems and there probably needs to be some things that are tweaked here and there to try to prevent what happened in Orlando and Sandy Hook and the other things. But I'm not one of these people that's just anti-gun totally, because I do understand why someone would want to protect themselves, especially if they live out in a rural area.
I'll give you my opinion. You can either comment or we can move on, but I believe that, you know, the right to bear arms, the Second Amendment, is fine.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, obviously we don't want anybody to have assault weapons. That's a little bit of overkill. But in history, what we have proven in history is that no matter what it is, whether it be technology and hacking in or gangsters, the thieves and the crooks always get the stuff that you're not supposed to have. So all we're doing is, I think, taking away from the honest people the right to bear arms, and still the drug dealers, the crooks, the ISIS, they're not going to give up their guns. They're going to have them. They're going to buy them in the black market, and they're going to find them. So I think that it's kind of a ridiculous argument. What do you think?
Yeah. Well, I think if, you know, when you have these, you know, blanket bans, I mean, you're taking away someone's right to protect themselves. And it's so ironic to, you know, here's the president of the United States protected by guys with guns. I mean, you know, he doesn't have to worry about it. You know, nobody's going to come and, you know, rob his place or whatever. So, you know, you have to allow people to do that. You know, it's interesting too, like, you know, Paris has very strict gun laws, and, you know, somehow, you know, there were terrorists that got guns and committed that massacre last November. Just in London this week, one of the British lawmakers killed by a gun. Guns, I mean, even the cops in Britain, in London, don't have guns. So, yes, you're right. I mean, they do have them. And, you know, you wonder, like, how would situations be different, like Paris, like Orlando, like Sandy Hook, if the principal would have been allowed to have a gun, for example, in Sandy Hook, and could have used it on the guy that killed all the kids. I mean, you know, we'll never know. But I do understand why people want to protect themselves. And I think you got to allow them. You're leaving people vulnerable if you don't allow them to protect themselves.
Right. And I don't own a gun. I've shot a gun maybe twice in my life. And I'm not a fan, but I'm certainly a fan of the Second Amendment. I'm certainly a fan of one's right to defend themselves. And again, I do know that the crooks will get them regardless of what we do. So now we had another crook. No, the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve,
yeah,
reported on Wednesday, you know, the FOMC meeting. Do you have any thoughts to A, the announcement? No surprise, really. Or
no.
The interview after the Q&A? I mean, I'm kind of getting nauseous listening to it's really kind of.
Well, I'm tired of it. I mean, it's the same stuff. And, I mean, it wasn't just the Fed, you know, the Bank of England, the Bank of Japan. I mean, nobody in the central bank in the world wants to do anything with interest rates right now. And we're just plugging along. I mean, we've had, what, 0.25% increase in Federal Reserve rates in 9 years. I mean, what does that tell you? I mean, it tells you the economy is in trouble. And, I mean, these headline numbers about, you know, jobs, you know, there was, like, Las Vegas is back to pre-recession jobs, you know. But you have to look deeper into these numbers. I mean, you have to look at what kind of jobs are they? You know, there are all these reports out there. Like, when you dig a little deeper and get into some of the things that people are experiencing, I mean, no millennials who are making $100,000 a year who are shopping at dollar stores. because they have a lot of student debt. There's all these like external things that are going on underlying these undercurrents in the economy that are just not healthy. I mean, we're not growing, and that's why they're not raising rates, but they're making all the mistakes. I mean, they're just putting more regulations and more burdens. There's Obamacare. There's all these, you know, there's the, now the minimum wages and all this. None of that's going
to
help.
No, I mean, in fact, you can see Walmart's already gone to automatic money counting machines. So they've eliminated three jobs for every one. Once again, so we're going to see this automation. So that's a problem that continues to exist. And I mean, the only true way out is to bite the bullet, raise rates, and free up liquidity. In my opinion, I mean, I think it's tragic that and I do a lot of work with the farmers and in the farm industry, and you know, the banks are getting tougher on them to borrow money. And as you know, from being in the business, most farmers need money to get through a year because their costs are so high to start, and they don't make their money until basically a year later after they start. So they need liquidity. And unfortunately, the banks are trying to cut back on that liquidity, which makes it even tougher for everybody. What do you think about that?
Yeah, no, it's absolutely true. I just did a report this week about how a lot of the farmers are going to the USDA, I mean, for loans to try to make ends meet until harvest comes through and they can sell their crop. And of course, you know, you don't want to be forced to sell your crop and harvest when everything else is hitting the market. I mean, you want to be able to hold on to it, take advantage of an upswing in price. And so, I mean, it's tough. I mean, I really honestly think, Todd, the only way we're going to get out of this is with some structural reform on taxes, on the economy, just you know, get rid of some of the burdensome regulations, get rid of the government trying to control everything and trying to make everybody happy and make everything fair, and just let people do their own thing. I mean, be a safety net. I have no problem with that, you know, for 2 to 3 years. But I think, you know, it all starts with school and educating, making sure schools are good. And then helping people when they hit, you know, a rough patch or two in their life, which we all do, but not, you know, just continually getting people in this mindset of depending on the government. Everything should be temporary. Everything should be just a safety net in their way through life. I mean, we're not going to have a vibrant economy, and too many people are doing that in America right now.
So, you know, you've got young kids, and what is your opinion of the Common Core? You talked about education. I mean, I think it's terrible. What is your opinion as a parent?
Well, you know, I'm right in the middle of it. So, because New York is a Common Core state, and I help my kids with homework. Okay, so math is really the only place that I notice a huge difference. And I'm trying to figure it out a little bit. It's supposed to be a new and interesting way to teach math. I mean, rather than like just memorizing your multiplication tables and, you know, you draw your number lines and, you know, if you got 122, you go, you know, 100, then 20, then 2, you know, and I'm not sure that it really achieves what it's supposed to achieve. I guess I'm a little undecided. I'm willing to listen to anything that's innovative about education, but I'm also a little confused about what it's trying to do. I would rather teach math and things like that with experiential learning rather than these, you know, papers that they bring home and they do these number lines and they add up stuff, which I'm not sure is really any different than how I learned it in the end. I'm not sure. I mean, I honestly, I've tried to accommodate to it because it's what my kids have to do because that's what the school does. And they get tested on it. But I'm also open to other ideas as well.
Yeah, I think it's a bad deal that we have to have our schools have to be dependent on money because they have to follow the Common Core. I think it's sad that it's really about taking the next test. So to me, a lot of that becomes a much bigger problem. I'm against it because I think that we're taking away the common sense and the ability of somebody to actually have to think through something and really get it. And you know all about that from your background, because you had to do it on the farm. You had to, you know, you didn't have the answer all the time, but you had to figure it out. And I think that's important. But you know what? You always bring so much. Jane King brings good things to light, like GE, but Lila Max Media, the Ka-Ching Report, you got to check her out. She is really terrific. So, you know, check her out. Watch her on TV. She's on about 9 billion stations right now and still growing. Jane King, you're awesome.
Thanks, bud.
Having you on. Have a great day, Ben.
Okay.
And that was, of course, our friend Jane King, who comes by and visits with us. And of course, she is a TV personality and runs her own show, as well as X from Bloomberg. And as you know, good knowledge pretty much across the boards, and always brings us some very interesting tidbits and morsels. And of course, when you miss an episode, LibertyTalk.fm is the place to go. It's like Green Acres. Liberty Talk is the place to go to get the download of The Bubba Show. Anyways, check it out, LibertyTalk.fm. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horace. We will be back right after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba
Horace. Marjorie said, Roy, you ain't listening to me.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
Todd Bubba Horowitz, it's time for the one, the only, Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. And Matt, welcome aboard. It's always great to have you on.
Always great to be here. Thanks, Todd.
You know, we've talked and been looking for this sell-off. And, you know, last week we saw a little bit of selling, but I don't know that it was dramatic. But I think, you know, more to the point, you know, as you've been saying here every single week, that the banks are accumulating VIX futures. They're accumulating VIX futures, and the VIX did explode and did break out to the upside. Now, whether or not it'll stay there or not, I don't know. But certainly, it's looking to me like it's like the breakout is on, and the VIX is going to continue to go higher from here, which would indicate maybe the rest of the markets will break the other way finally. But we still don't have that clarification. What are you seeing, and what do you think?
Well, it could. I mean, I thought it was interesting that the VIX spiked as much as it did on a small move down we got in the S&P. You know, it kind of looked to me like S&P should have been down much more based upon how much we went up in VIX. But some of my price patterns are not quite clear. They're looking possibly for a bounce this coming week. And that's kind of keeping me on the fence about the very near term. And obviously we have Brexit coming up, so that's a binary event that could move markets. Medium term, longer term, I'm still expecting much higher volatility and lower stock prices. But in the very short term, we could definitely get a bounce.
Well, I agree. I agree on all counts. Now, what I found interesting, and I really thought, and I had told all my people all week, is, you know, yeah, we're a little bit softer, but, you know, the market, we're not that far away still from that, you know, that all-time high print in the S&P. And the way the patterns are setting up, because your opinion was that the S&P might make a new high, but the Dow should not. And now it's certainly looking much more like, if that's going to happen, that would happen the way you'd like to see it, which is great. But I was really surprised on the triple witching expiration, which are typically higher. And really, it was just awfully weak and really was never able to get off the deck and basically closed. You know, I mean, it's hard to say it was on big volume because, you know, I was actually tracking the volume for my people just to show them, you know, on my calls what happens on expiration. And, of course, we did more volume in the last 15 minutes of the day than we did the entire day, but the market was down, which is unusual for a triple witching expiration. Is that kind of leading you to the belief that there may be one more little pop in here?
I don't know if that's feeding it as much into it, but I mean, it's certainly interesting. What's bothering me is there's a couple things. One, as we've sold off, a variety of indicators have gotten oversold faster than I would have thought they should. So, for example, the McClellan oscillator on NYSE, it fell about as much as it did in August of last year on this relatively small move of, 2 or 3%, maybe not even 3%. It was about the same move as we got in August of last year, so on a 12% move. So that's a little bit strange to me. Now, some of these indicators are, pretty oversold. And, I think we're just there's a good chance we get a bounce first, because I don't see how we get much higher in volatility based upon where indicators are now. I mean, they could get more oversold, but, some of these can only go to zero, and we're close enough that I don't think that's going to happen.
I agree. Listen, I agree. You look at the VIX, and I mean, it was up, 50% or now, 50 or 55% from the recent bottom, which is a pretty healthy move. And of course, basically the indices really didn't have any follow through to go with that. So it does indicate that maybe we'll get some sort of a bounce. Now, I know you're, a 99.9% technical analyst. Does the Brexit mean anything to you, or do you have to wait to see how it plays out in the chart?
Well, it does. I have some indicators I can look at to determine whether or not what kind of result we'll get. One that is it's not really technical, it's more the COT stuff. The commercial traders, the banks, have been increasing their long exposure to the euro and the pound as we're getting closer here. So you wouldn't think that they would do that if the result were to leave. So I'm guessing, more likely they're going to vote to stay, or at least that's how the vote will be counted. That's my best guess, they will now vote to stay, and then we'll get a big rally out of it, particularly in Europe. The bigger bearish patterns will kick back in again. I still don't believe that even if Brexit is a vote to stay and we get a rally, it's not over yet. We're going to get another big move to the downside. The big pattern is a bearish pattern.
Right, and I agree, and I think that let's face it, forget about how good you are at what you do, forget about anything. I mean, we're 8 years into this ridiculous air pocket that's been put in by the central banks and the Fed. So, I mean, the markets, just from a probability standpoint, figure to have some sort of sell-off here coming. But you've got a lot of reasons to believe that's near and closer. But when we look around, okay, for example, oil last week, it was, kind of trying to go lower. And then, of course, on Friday, it exploded to the upside. Mm. What did you make of that move?
What I made of that is the daily indicators I was looking at, we were targeting about 37, 38 in daily stochastics, and that's where we got to. It's where it bottomed, and now we're bouncing again. I think now, I've been bearish on oil, and we covered some very near the bottom, but we didn't get totally out. And now I think we might be trapped. We may have to cover on strength, which I hate, but we'll have to watch. I think it could go higher here.
All right, so the charts are indicating that we can go higher here, and what is your mind and how high it could go?
At least in the short term, I think we'd probably just go back up to 52. If we go to 51 and possibly 52, there's a lot of resistance up there, and I think that will probably be where it peaks out. If it starts breaking above that, then we'll start considering taking a loss on the position.
Okay, and then, of course, you have your gold special, but I'll get to that in a minute. But gold, obviously, pretty surprising move, based on everything else that was going on, and really popped pretty good at the end of last week. What do you think of that?
Yeah, no, that was a good move. I'm not sure that it completed to the upside. 6 weeks ago when it was peaking out. So I think this is the completion of that move. It needed to go a little bit higher, and now it is. I don't think it's going to get much above. I don't think it's going to get above 1330 at all. But that's about as high as I would see it going. While it's been moving up, the banks have been heavily shorting. And now, as of right now, they should be at an all-time record short position.
Okay, so again, so the banks. Now, what are the banks doing in the dollar right now?
They've been easing. This is interesting. They've been easing off of the dollar. They were, heavily short the dollar for months. And now their dollar short position's maybe one-fifth of what it was. So they're still, short, but not much. And they've gone heavily long euro. So, I would think it doesn't really make sense. You would think, well, if they're heavily long euro, they should be heavily short dollar.
Aren't they, in effect, they're heavily short dollar if they're heavily long euro? I mean, it is the biggest.
Yeah, it's effectively the same thing. So I would think that... if they're positioning this way, they must be positioning, I would think, for a Remain vote out of Brexit, which would we would probably see the dollar fall, see the euro and pound rise, and that's probably how it will play out.
All right. Well, tell us about your gold special, because we've been talking about it every week, and you have an opinion and you've got a deal for everybody. So go ahead and tell us about the gold special.
Yeah, absolutely. So we don't believe that gold has actually bottomed. We have a bottom line, it's an ascending line that was never hit. It hasn't been hit, and that should be the completion of the gold bear market, that line. Since we haven't hit it yet, we believe there's going to be one additional big move down in gold, and we'll go to a lower low. And when we get close to the line, we're going to send out a email and a text message saying exactly where the target is, what the price should be, and to use that to get long if you wish. We're not charging anything for it unless we're right. So the sign up is free, and if we're right, then we charge $49. And one thing we have to be right is we have to get it within 3%, and the rally that occurs afterward has to be at least 20%.
Not a bad deal. I got to tell you, I signed up for it myself. I think it's a good deal. I mean, you're getting somebody who does this for a living. That's their technical read, and they're giving you an opportunity and saying, hey, we're not at the spot yet, but here's a deal for you. So I would check it out. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk to Matt a little bit about the bond markets, because they've had a little bit of action, and we need to talk about wheat and some of the commodities, because they've been kind of wacko as well. A lot of wacky things happening, but as always, we cover them in detail here on The Bubba Show. This is The Bubba Show. Make sure when you miss an episode, LibertyTalk.fm will get you the download of every Bubba Show, and including the Sporting Edge, which is a weekend show. So make sure you check out LibertyTalk.fm and get the show every day. We just passed 225,000 downloads, and obviously looking to get higher, and I need your help. So please go check it out and download the show every day. You can't miss Matt's information. Obviously, you're always pretty much spot on. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz here with Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. We'll be back right after the break. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're on our way back. That's been pretty much on top of the markets. And, of course, you hear him. And I got to point this out. When he says he's wrong, he tells you he's wrong. He doesn't try to make it where it's right, because we both know that we are basically risk takers of higher probability things and trades, and knowing how to get out is just as important as knowing how to get in. Would you agree with that, Matt?
Absolutely. I mean, the idea is to take small losses where you can, and then, let your winners run, right?
So yeah, 100%. All right, so, Matt, we've got a lot of crazy, wacky things happening, and I think the first thing to look at is wheat. The commodities, those markets have been, unbelievable. I cannot believe that wheat, is up, but it really hasn't really moved. It's really stuck in that big sweeping range that I've been watching. But yet, it looked like we're going to finally get some breakage in soybeans and corn. And then on Friday, they pick them back up, and they soybeans were down slightly, but corn was basically flat. But we have to see a change here at some point. Are they not getting so pretty much extended here?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the pattern in soybeans has become a little more clear to me based upon where it's topped. I think that's it for soybeans. I don't think it's going to go any further. I don't think it's going any further higher. Wheat, like you just said, it's just kind of caught in a sideways range. It's staying above major support, though, for me. So the way I look at it is kind of wheat is kind of doing nothing, but soybeans has peaked. So, you know, we're staying short soybeans and long wheat as a one-to-one pair trade. Wheat, you know, we'll just have to see if it actually it does its side of it, if it actually moves up. The commercials are still long. The whole hedging category is still long. That's a smart money. Whereas in soybeans, they're short, heavily short. And, you know, the indicators are right for wheat for being relatively oversold, and soybeans are relatively overbought. So
listen, I agree. I've been on wheat for a long, long time, and it's in this wild range, but yet it hasn't really crumbled. And obviously, soybeans of corn have took off. And I think that, you know, I keep saying, hey, if you're a producer or a farmer, just hedge it and keep locking in higher bases. If you're a trader, you can't be buying them up here. You got to be a seller. And that's what I actually believe. And I do believe that one day you're going to walk in, they're just going to be down limit. And that's going to be the start of it. And all the greed that's played out here. Because, you know, one of the things we do know, you and I both know, is that we move from fear to greed all the time. Not you and I, because you and I read just the chart. So we're not involved with the emotional part of the trading. But people that are out there, they move from one emotion to the other. And that does create these larger moves. And that does create some of this irrationality we've seen. You know, what I think is very irrational in soybeans. I mean, but again, we're not going to predict the top, but certainly I wouldn't be a buyer up here, and I know you wouldn't either. So now I know that, you know, you called here, I don't know, about 3-4 weeks ago, the end of the 36-year bull market in treasuries, and we had a final push up here late in the week. But I know that one of your targets in the TBT, which is the ultra short ETF, came right down, and I think it went one penny below your target price and has already rallied back about 3-4% from that area. Tell us what happened and what are you thinking?
Yeah, no, thanks for bringing that up. Yeah, we were actually off by six pennies, but I mean, you know, it was a pretty on-target call. So we were saying 32.55 in TBT, and we got down to 32.49. So that was our short term target that lines up with the long term pattern. So from our perspective, we're saying that the long term treasuries bull market is now ended, it's over, and that we're heading into a bear market. And that this is really the crossing point here. You know, since that point, rates have obviously jumped back up, and we think, yeah, I think that's it. We think, you know, 36 years is a long wait, and now it's done.
Okay, so which would mean that the bond markets would start indicating that interest rates would have to start to rise. Okay, now I believe, and I've always believed, that the fixed income markets are even bigger than the Federal Reserve, even though the Fed has the ability to print money. But if the bonds and the fixed income markets decide to push it and say, screw you, we want rates higher, they have the ability to do so, which would indicate that you could be right here. Is that what you're seeing?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's a massive market. It's, you know, I think it's harder to control than, you know, everybody makes the central banks out to, you know, to be. I don't think that they have as much control, especially on the long end, that, you know, everybody thinks. And you know, it's just a massive market, and it makes no sense. I mean, this is getting into the fundamental point, but how does it make sense that you can have German, you know, 10-year bonds, you know, at negative rates? I mean, why would anybody, it doesn't make any sense, why would anybody buy them other than the central banks themselves? And they have, you know, limited, you know, firepower at some point, unless they just go into wholesale, you know, money printing QE, which I think we eventually will, but we're not there yet.
I think we definitely go there, and I do agree. I think that this is the whole bogus part of what's going on. But back to what you really do. So when we look through your views, So you're looking for a potential rally here in the general markets here. And really, I'm going to put words in your mouth, but you can respond. I think you're looking for a sellable rally to actually short. Would that be correct?
Yeah, that's right. Rally up in – we're talking about equities?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think we're going to get a bounce or a rally, and then we're going to want to short back into it. And one of the things that I'm having a tough time wrapping my head around is from my work, it says that rates have bottomed, and therefore, the long rates tend to, move with equity. So we're going to say we're going to get this bounce up in equities, which makes sense for rates to bounce as well. But then when we get a big sell-off in equities, we should get a sell-off in rate as well. I just don't think that the rate is going to move as fast to the downside as it has in the past. For whatever world events make that happen, we'll see. If we're going to be wrong about, rates having bottomed this past Thursday, last week Thursday, we got to 1.5% in the 10-year. We could get, the big pattern we have says, there's fudge room down to 1.3, 1.4%, and that's it. It wouldn't go any lower than that.
I said 1.25 was my call 6 months ago. But
okay.
But that 1.3 is close enough. Look, one of the problems is when you manipulate the yield curve, and that's the problem. See, when you look at it from the way you're explaining, just so everybody understands, usually when rates are at a reasonable level, not zero, or where they are now. When markets sell off, people run. That's a safe haven play, and that's where they run. But now rates are so low, so I happen to agree with you that they're not going to be running to the bond market this time because the rates are so cheap. I think they're going to run to their mattress. Would be maybe my guess, but we'll see how it plays out. Now Europe, we didn't talk much about Europe today. We got about a minute or so left here. What's going on with the Eurex 50 or whatever, Eurostox 50?
Yeah, Eurostox 50 is probably one of the most oversold indices right now. We've been beating the drum about being short for months. We have not hit the the big downside target yet. We still have about 10-15% more to run to the downside there, but there's also plenty of room to run back up to major resistance, which is much higher now that we've fallen so much. So if we get this Brexit vote where they vote to stay, we could run as high as 12% to the upside in Euro stocks before it would then turn back down and, have to start all over again on the descent. But that's where we stand on Europe. We've lightened up our short position. We're still modestly short. We may cover the rest of that, this week prior to the vote.
Well, that's if you're a bearer, you'd like to see those kind of rallies. Those are sharp, short covering, what we call in the trade, rip your face off rallies. And those are the ones you want to be selling because that's typically tells you that you're still in a bear market. And those big rallies are just short covering and chasers trying to come in. I mean, that's pretty much how I see it. So what is your, real quickly, we got about 10 seconds, what's your downside, your first downside target in the S&P?
I think we're going, longer term, I think we're going down to the 1800 zone. That would be our first and last target, really. But I think right now we only have a little bit lower before we get a bounce. There's, maybe 10 points.
You called it. You've been spot on. This is Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. Make sure you check him out. And go check out his gold special. I'm telling you. I mean, here he is. He's just purely a numbers guy and does it. Matt, as always, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks a lot, Todd. Appreciate it.
This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. And, of course, when you miss an episode, I know I tell you every day, but I'm going to keep telling you, go to libertytalk.fm. And download the show every day. You can get that as well as the Sporting Edge. And make sure you do that so you can help Bubba out. And that'll do it for today. We appreciate you being here. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Have a great day, everybody.
Let this old world.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.